Sunday morning, 10/23/22. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title is called Broken Off Branches. We'll look at Revelation 2. Jesus is talking to the churches, talking to John about the churches. It says in verse 1, unto the angel of the church in Ephesus write, These things saith he that upholdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. All right, that's where I want to stop. All right, removing the candlestick. I'm beginning to look at this as pertaining to the old guard. Jesus said that you could not put new wine into old bottles, lest it spoil the new wine. Could this be what Jesus was talking about? The guard have mindsets that pertain to their commission. And just as I mentioned before, for them to keep their reward, God must take them out. You know, Tony Cook had that word. God must take them out. God doesn't mean that they won't go to heaven, but lest they get into disobedience, they are better off going to their reward than staying, because they would lose it. If they stayed, they would get into sin. I believe we will see more of this as we see the evil taken out and the good restored. Okay. With that, I want to go to Romans chapter 11. This chapter 11 kind of explains what I just read. Starting with verse 1, it says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Want ye not what the scripture saith Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, and it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, that it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled, that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. As I'm reading this, I see a relay race. Handing of the baton. Doesn't mean they're evil. Doesn't mean they're bad. It just means they're finished their leg of the relay race. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. That will say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed lest he also not spare thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. We have to have the right attitude in this leg that we are to walk into, that maybe those that we've known will not. They had their part to play in the relay race. We're all winners, right? We're all winners at the end of the day. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. And if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happening to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, which I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have those also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how searchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So we just need to do what God's called us to do and not be concerned about old guard or whatever else. That's really between them and God. It's all part of God's plan. All right. This should not cause us to be arrogant but humbled. We must stay flowing with the Holy Spirit and adjust as he shows us things to come. Stay renewed in your mind so the grace will flow to following God's will. We can't get arrogant in what we think to where we miss it, because we become arrogant in our way of thinking and what God is showing us and what's coming and the new dispensation that we're walking into. Just like I read in the last teaching, renewing our mind to God's will and flowing in the grace that he's given to do his will. All right, Jesus had a mission. It was all about the people, to help the people. That was his number one goal. We're going to look just a few scriptures here. 1 John 3:8 says, why Jesus came for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Okay. Now, Mark chapter 3. Verse 20. And the multitude cometh together again, so that he could not so much as eat bread. When his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good, except he first bind the strong man, and then he shall spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they are blasphemed. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. All right. This should not cause us to be arrogant, I'm telling you. Not at all. Because the old guard did not understand, they persecuted Jesus. They didn't understand. The kingdom of God was not like wasn't like the old covenant and the temple worship and all the stuff that they did. It was completely outside their box for sure. And they were calling, because he was new and he was different, doing something different, they called him of the devil. Accused him of being casting out devils because he was a devil. By the devil. All right? Because of them not understanding, that is where the persecution came from for Jesus. The old guard persecuted the new guard. Just get ready for it. It's already happening. We've already heard it to some extent. Someone comes out with the truth about things and it doesn't line up with their narrative, then they just won't hear you. Well, they're just a false prophet. All right, go to John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. I call him Nick at night. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it lusteth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, or listeth, not lusteth, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou master of Israel, and know not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and yet receive not our witness. For if I told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shouldest not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, that light has come to the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So Nick at night, he had a little inkling. At least he was curious enough to check it out. That this is new. I know you must be doing the works of God. There's just no way that these things could happen unless God was behind it. Maybe we're going to have some go-betweens. some nicks at night. If you don't know what that means, there used to be a show on Nickelodeon called Nick at Night. Okay. All right, John 7. You know, to a lot of people, change is fear. There's a lot of fear in change. They're used to doing the same thing all their life, and when you start trying to change them from one thing to another, they get real out of sorts because they don't want to change. They want to keep doing things the way they've done it all their life. They want to be comfortable. They want to stay. Don't mess with me. I'm happy here. We have to be to the place that what God shows us, even though it's new, that we don't get to be the same way, that we think that's all there is. We need to stay moving with the Spirit. All right, this is John 7:45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, "Why have you not brought him?" The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." Then answered them the Pharisees, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? This people who knoweth not the law are cursed." Nicodemus saith unto them, "He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth?" They answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet." Every man went into his own house. So here Nicodemus is starting to get a little persecution from his peers because he's defending Jesus. All right. John 19. Verse 38. And after this is after Jesus' death. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with spices, as the manner of the Jewish is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and the garden a new sepulcher, which was never man yet laid. And they laid Jesus therein because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. So I think Nick made the transition. I know in the movie The Chosen, I think it was Nicodemus was the one that Jesus wanted him to leave everything and go with him. And he wouldn't do it. His wife kept pulling on him not to go, not to go, not to go, and he ended up not going. But he secretly funded them behind the scenes, sent money on their journeys. Anyway, all right, because Jesus is not old guard, look at what he suffered. Herod tried to kill him at his birth. The Pharisees and the Sadducees debated that he taught everywhere he went. They debated him. One of his own disciples sold him out for money. All his disciples forsook him and fled. His family pressured him. His friends questioned him. The demons were terrified of him. Yeah. All right, Matthew 8:29. Ever been made fun of because you're a conspiracy theorist? This is a scripture that it says, "And behold," this is at the madman of Gadara, "and behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" So they were terrified of him. Something interesting happened yesterday. I was listening to, who was I listening to? It had to do with Tartaria. But they were talking about, it might have been Rob Skiba. It might have been him that was talking about that The demons were afraid of Jesus to send them to Tartaria, which was supposedly the place where the angels that sinned in Genesis were sent to, and they're in chains. And it's such a horrible place. It said the demons cried out, "Don't send us there! Don't send us away! Send us into the pigs!" And Jesus allowed them to go into the pigs. But they were afraid he was going to send them to where those fallen angels were. And I heard this guy saying, he was saying that, and I'm thinking it's in Afghanistan, that these soldiers, there's a certain place that they have to guard, and they don't want to go. Anybody go down there, it's so horrible. And there's things down there. In fact, there's some footage out right now that you can hear screams. You can stand there and you can hear these horrible noises and screams. And you can tell they're like men, like they're way down, chained. And that's where those angels are chained. They were talking about the Euphrates River is drying up. You know, it talks about the Euphrates River drying up in Revelation. So whether this all is connected, I don't know. But he said that's where they thought Jesus was going to send them. Yeah. Okay, I heard so. Okay, there. The demons did not want to go to the place where the Genesis angels were sent. It's a horrible, horrible place. All right. It seems so difficult for people to wake up to what is going on. They would rather be left alone in what they know, even though it's a dead end. It's comfortable. Yeah. Let's talk about soul ties. There are good soul ties and bad soul ties. How do we get soul ties? By associations. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Well, I looked that up in the Strong's, communications. It means companionship or intercourse. A lot of soul ties, sexual soul ties, of course, from that. But there's not just physical adultery, there's also spiritual adultery. You understand? You can get connected that way. It's like idolatry. Because really, everything that was laid down in the New Testament, drinking of blood, sacrificing the animals, and worshiping idols, it all had to do with spiritual adultery, right? And flee fornication. So it's talking about physical and spiritual adultery. To me, those are the main ways that a person gets a soul tie, all right? And this may be good information on down the line whenever you might have to minister to somebody that's got, you know what I'm saying? Lord knows. Because I didn't even tend to go this direction yesterday morning, man. He just took me right this direction. I thought, okay, I'm going to go with it. So just put it in your spiritual library. Says Moses experienced this type of situation. In Moses' experience, think about it. Moses, he left Egypt, left his family, and he gets soul tied to the Midianite, and he marries his daughter. Well, she didn't believe in the plan of God. She called him a bloody man because God was going to kill him for not circumcising his son and listening to his wife instead. I mean, here he is. He has this big burning bush experience, and God in great detail tells him exactly what he's going to do, what Pharaoh's going to do, what he wants him to do. And he's prepping to get ready to do it, and what happens? Well, we'll read it. I wrote it down here. Exodus 4. I'm mean, it's two chapters. He's telling him every detail and everything. All right, right here. Verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass, by the way, in the end, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. So evidently he was on his way. Is that a hotel? Isn't that what an inn is? Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a buddy husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. Well, it just went downhill from there. Now just think about it. Her father was like a father to Moses. In fact, on the journey, Moses sends her home. It got so bad. He sends her home. Well, here comes father-in-law with the two sons and Zipporah. When he gets a look at what God is doing in Moses' life, he ends up taking her back home with him. And he ends up getting a divorce. And then, it's not much longer, he gets married to an Ethiopian woman, and Aaron and Miriam start ragging on him and condemning him over what he did. What happened? Miriam turns leprous. See how we need to make sure that our ties are the right ties? Always? Because it just brings you trouble if you don't? Yeah. All right, let's keep going here. Like I said, I'm just going the direction the Lord told me to go. So this is what we're going to do. All right. God puts relationships together we should seek no other, like David and Jonathan. If we allow these types of relationships, we could easily disobey God or not fully reach our potential. Abraham had to deal with this sort of situation on two occasions. All right, we know in Genesis 12, God told him to leave his family and go to a land that I will show you. What did he do? He took Lot. They hadn't been together very long till the herdsmen of Lot and the herdmen of Abram start fighting. And he ends up having to separate from Lot, which that's what God wanted in the first place. So, and instead of staying in the land God told him to, the famine came, and what did he do? He went to Egypt. What did he do? He picked up the slave girl. And God gave Sarah a promise of a baby, and she laughed. But anyway, she has a good idea, because it wasn't coming to pass, that let's just take the slave girl and let Abraham raise up seed through the slave girl. What happens? Another bad soul tie that didn't do anything but cause problem until one day he had to send them packing. That's what Galatians 4 is talking about right here. Remember these. Remember what I'm saying today. This is a benchmark day. Remember what I am saying. All right. For it is written, this is Galatians 4:22, that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which generate the bondage, which is Hagar, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. And answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. See, we ought to be having few, not many. The few things we've done by the Spirit, that's what we should be rejoicing in. Not the many things that we've done by the flesh. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondman and her son, or bondwoman and her son, and for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You're free. God wants you to stay free. Don't let anything get in the way of that. All right. Bad soul ties, man, they can cause such problems and keep us from attaining the full will of God in our lives. Good soul ties, on the other hand, will help us to obtain all God has planned for us. Okay. That'll be it.